I'm Marissa.
And I'm Rachel.
And you're listening to the PTO Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the PTO Podcast presented by One Country. I'm Marissa.
And I'm Rachel.
And we just went over that you are introing our next guest.
We looked at each other like, wait. I have today with me one of my very good friends. His name is Tyler Conrad. And I'm just so excited for you to be here because I feel like we've known each other for so long. And when I think, when I thought of which photographers I wanted on my podcast, you were the first one that came to my mind. So thank you for being here.
This and is in the red. I'm blushing now. So, but thank you.
Yeah, yeah. No, sure. It's not the red neon sign. Sure.
And it's because he's one of your best friends and most talented photographers. But also Rachel said that he has a really hot voice.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to start.
I think Tyler has a hot voice, and that's exactly how we're going to start this podcast off.
So you guys out there, be the judge.
I'm being exploited today.
At the end, we'll do like a rating. How hot your voice is. A poll of how hot Tyler's voice sounds.
We'll probably need him to talk first.
So. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Up to you, though.
No, yeah, you sorry.
Cue me whenever.
Okay, tell us your story. Tell us, go back from the beginning. Yeah. I always like to talk about, like, for those listening who want to be a photographer in the music industry, like, what were your first steps? Like, what did you start doing?
Sure. I didn't really get into photography first. It was video.
Okay.
And I got into video in high school, like at the tail end of high school. I did like videos on the announcements, like for the school and stuff. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but I took an editing course my senior year and kind of had fun with it. Fast forward to college, took a couple classes on it in college. Didn't really want to pursue it until I had a few friends around that were like, hey, you should try this out. And so joined the TV program at University of Indianapolis and kind of ran with it. And then took a photography course in college, failed that course.
You failed your photography course? Wait, course?
Uh-huh.
What?
It, to be fair, it was an 8 a.m. three times a week.
Oh, and no.
It was just no show.
Just a no show. Just wasn't happening well. But it's
funny.
More fun to just say I failed it.
Yeah, it is. Point, you know? It is, yeah.
Anyway, so took that in college and then ended up getting a job for a conglomerate of radio stations in Indianapolis. One of those was a country radio station.
Okay.
And so
you spoke on the radio because they
I did that
voice.
In college. Yeah, I was a
because they knew
I was a well okay I was a jazz radio DJ in college because that was our college radio station was okay. A jazz station. And so I went from that to the TV program because I initially wanted to be in radio. But anyway, fast forwarding to the first job, didn't like country music at the time, but worked for a country radio station, got to know a lot of new artists that came through. One of those new artists being now one of my best friends in town, Devin Dawson.
Who I actually lived with his brother.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know
Jacob?
You lived together. Yeah,
yeah,
I lived with them both too when I moved to town.
Oh, yeah. How was your experience?
It was great.
I'm just kidding.
Did you clean up when you lived with them?
Yeah, he did. He actually cleaned
it. Let's not air things out. No. But yeah, so, you know, I met him through that. Then I went from there, worked in IndyCar for a little while, was on the IndyCar circuit shooting.
What is
for,
IndyCar?
Like racing, like NASCAR.
Like, but what did you do for them then?
So I just shot for drivers and teams, kind of the same way we do artists now. So I was on the IndyCar circuit, went to all the races and, you know, followed them around and shot for them, their advertisers and things like that.
Cool.
And so, yeah, I went from that. I liked that, didn't love that as much as I thought I would. Then Devin reached out at the right time and said, hey, dude, I'm going on tour in a few weeks. Do you want to, you know, be the photo video guy with me? I was like, give me 2 weeks so I can put my 2 weeks in. And then I'm down. So,
wow,
you know, put my 2 weeks in and now we're
were
here.
Were you scared to, like, go on tour? Like, did you even know, like, what was your first time being on a bus? Like, how was that for you?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I was as scared as I was just, I felt like if I didn't do it now, I don't know if I ever would. Like, this felt, yeah, it felt like such an out there opportunity that I was like, I don't know, when is this ever gonna happen again? Like I said, I wasn't like super pumped on what I was doing at the time anyway, and so, you know, I was still young enough that I was kind of like, let's give it a shot, you know. Mm-hmm. let's try it, because I liked Nashville a lot at that point too. I'd visited a couple times, and so yeah, I got out here and then had about a week or two, and then we went out on tour for the first time. And yeah, being on the bus the first time was just, I'd say the bus wasn't like super weird for me. It was more just going on there.
Did Devin have a bus at that time?
Yeah, Devin had a bus for that one. Oh, that's nice. Yep, that was, I think that was his first tour with a bus.
That is rare for a tour photographer to start out straight up on a bus.
Yeah.
Like, I will say, I've only done bus life, too.
Are you guys serious? Yeah. Am I the only one who's been an OG van girl?
I mean, I've done vans, but I just didn't start there. Okay, you know? Yeah, yeah. But it wasn't...
Marissa's like, couldn't be me.
Flights. All the way.
Flights and bus. You can fly me or I'll just stay here. Thank you. But yeah, it wasn't like the bus itself. It was very cool to be on there, obviously, don't get me wrong. But it was more just kind of you're walking on as a stranger and there's like 5 or 6, 7, however many people were on that bus, like tight-knit dudes who have been touring for, you know, 3, 4 years at that point. You know, they've been in the trenches together and now they're finally on the bus and everyone's just so tight and you got to kind of, you know, feel your way into being a part of that. And like that's kind of the weirdest part is – you're kind of like, you're like, hey, I'm kind of a part of the family now, you know, I got
to
kind of,
you have to accept me.
Yeah. Like we're going to work it out. Promise, you know? And so just, I don't know, kind of figuring your way out and how to go about that was probably the toughest part. Not that they're great. They're great guys. It was just weird.
Rachel and I have talked about this before, but like, cause we've given our pieces of advice for people that maybe haven't gone on the road before or like things to know, like, what piece of advice would you give like to someone else walking into the situation you walked into?
Yeah.
Can we play a game?
Well, can he answer first or
I didn't know you were asking a question.
I was gonna say
we should think of one thing that would make you a good like tour person on a bus. Like one thing.
What I just asked him.
Pretty, okay. It's one thing. Whisper in my head and we're gonna say that at the same time.
Wait, what?
Give me one thing that you like is a requirement if you're going to be on tour on a bus. What's one thing that you need to be?
Attribute or word? Yeah. Hold on. Do you have yours?
I'm going to just say yours out loud and see if it's the same. Do you have yours?
Oh,
sure.
Okay, hold on. This is kind of hard.
Are you kidding me? There's one thing that comes to my mind.
One thing that you just can't do on a bus? Is that what you're saying?
No. Oh, well, like, I know what you're about to say.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know where you're going.
You have to be.
Like a quality.
A quality.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's
okay, ready? Are you good with that one?
Yeah, I'm good with that one.
Let's all three say it at the same time. Sure. It's one word.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Clean.
Respectful.
Yeah, that's good too. I was going to say.
In the same there's vein, though. So no. Yeah,
but
definitely
actually,
be clean.
There's like so many. Like, I can't but even I think just that goes pinpoint in the same one. Man, yeah. Like,
were you about to say you can't shit on the bus?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know which avenue you were going down. I was like, wait a minute.
That's the action.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be like tolerable. You have to be mindful of other people's spaces, which is the respectful thing, but you have to be clean, which is also like encompassing of that. And you can't talk too much or too little. Like it's you have to be like balanced.
To answer your first question of just kind of giving advice on how to go about being on a bus for the first time or on tour is my biggest thing is just always leading with as much respect as you can. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that again, you're walking into basically a family and you know, you have to kind of make your way into, especially as a photographer, like you're the one covering everything that's going on. And so just being as respectful as you can of time and space and just like moments and having a conversation with the artist too of like, hey, what do you want me to get? What do you want me to just, you know, never bring my camera to? Things like that. Just if you over kind of deliver on the respectfulness side, a lot of the time the artist will be like, dude, like, no, get that. You know what I mean? And but showing that you're just mindful enough that you're in their space and, you know, that you're like kind of grateful to be there, but then you're also just like you're like capturing their lives, right? And so just keeping that in mind as much as you can, I think goes a long way. And then you'll slowly start to, you know, figure out what the actual boundary is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I love the leading with respect thing. I think that in music and in touring life, but like also just like broader scope, if you just lead with that, the rest like kind of falls into place. Mm-hmm. But Tyler, we were just talking before we started recording and like we had worked together years and years ago. You came to the studio and shot Kylie and it feels so. You started with Devin, you've done all of these gigs in between, and then now I know who you shoot for. If you want to talk a little bit about who you now work with and tour with
and how you got there.
Sure. So I now tour and shoot for Tim McGraw.
So sick.
We just did we finished up tour this year a couple weeks ago, and man, how we got there was a lot of different ways. I'd say the first kind of seed that was planted was the second tour I did in town. Devin was opening for Tim and Faith back in, I think, 2019 or 2018 rather. And so that was kind of the first time I ever got put on their radar at all. And, you know, you let that kind of sit for a year or two. And then obviously the world kind of shuts down a bit. At that time, Tim's previous photographer and videographer who had met at that time on the road, you know, he'd started a family. You know, he had a kid, I think maybe two at the time. He was ready to be home with his kids, do more work in town, things like that. So he had to obviously recommend some people, and he asked, he's like, can you be one of the people I recommend? And this is coming out of the pandemic. And I was like, of course, yes, absolutely. You don't have to ask that question. And so I was one of the recommendations he made, and they gave me a shot on Tim's first show back from the pandemic. He was headlining Watershed out in Washington, like outside of Seattle. My bucket list, I think probably my number two bucket list venue to shoot.
Yeah, the Gorge, right?
The Gorge, exactly, was the Gorge. And being his first show back, and so many people's in the audience first show back too, first concert they'd been to in years, probably the loudest show I've ever covered. And especially being that venue, because it's obviously like a cliff, and so the sound just kind of gets caught. Like it's like a bowl and just reflects back off. And so it's just ringing the whole time. And so that was the first show we shot. We had a plan on deliverables beforehand. We were going to turn it around as quickly as possible, as it's always done. But we turned around what we needed in about 20 to 30 minutes before he got on his plane to go back home.
Wow.
And he loved it. I think his exact response was, absolutely love this, and we love Tyler. And so that was kind of the stamp of approval. Shoot. After that.
That is so cool.
You know, they let me, you know, keep rolling, and now we're here about 3 years later.
Well, they should, because, I mean, I got the privilege to be on tour with you a couple weekends ago, which was really cool. And, like, watching you work was awesome, because I feel like I'm like, here's my one camera, and I'm going to film and video on this one camera, and then I have my backup camera, and I have some lens, whatever. But, like, the equipment that you were using, I was like, damn, Tyler is on it. And I feel like even from that one weekend that we were out together, I feel like I like learned so much. I mean, you were telling me how to like do like the time lapse around the like things I don't think about. And then, which comes to my next question, which I asked our friend Emma, who was on our podcast yesterday, is like, so you've been out with Tim now for 3 years. Like, what do you do to make the show look different? Like, do you ever lose like creativity? Like I was telling yesterday how I get trash from the floor and put it in my front of my lens in hopes that like I'll capture something different tonight. So like, how do you feel about that?
Sure. I think that's probably our biggest challenge, especially when you're covering like a full tour. You're doing it, not only a full tour, and this sounds weird, but a full tour of like arenas. A lot of the arenas,
When the lights are down, they look the same, right?
Yeah. It's not like you're doing different theaters that have all these different, like you're doing an arena, most things look pretty similar. Now, the moments are great. They're huge. You get great lighting looks. You get so many different things. But yeah, to make it different, I'd say two things. One is the fans. The fans are different every night. We would go out a lot of times before doors and just talk to fans online, have them like tell stories about you know, what some songs mean to them, you know, about Tim, or like, you know, hey, how far did you travel? You know, some would even just be standing over signs of like, you know, like, especially with this song, like Live Like You're Dying, like I beat cancer 2 years ago, you know, things like that. And just like, hey, you know, if you feel comfortable enough, can you tell me kind of part of your story and kind of what tonight may mean to you? Things like that.
Yeah.
And getting like those kinds of stories to, you know, that can just kind of further propel just things that go so much further than music. Like that was a big part for me. And then obviously you still add, you know, so many great, you know, visuals to it. Like even if the visuals aren't changing night to night, like the story, like they may mean different things because the story changes. And and then also different things do happen. Like he's brought, you know, many people up on stage before. He's done one of our best videos we did this year was he did a gender reveal like live on stage. He like grabbed a sign and opened the envelope and signed it for him, all that jazz. And obviously everyone loved it. Who doesn't want Tim McGraw to do their gender reveal?
That's sick.
And so, you know, things like that to just be as ready as you can for, right? It was me and I had another shooter out there, Ben Darty. He was killer. And just for that moment in particular, we were in the perfect spot. Ben was in the perfect spot, stage right. I was perfect spot right in front. And then we could still get front of house or get IMAG stuff from front of house. They had a couple great shots as well. We put it together, had it out, you know, late that night, and it was great. It was great.
Gosh,
you know,
just a quick turnaround.
Just so many things.
Love a good quick turnaround.
So many things just can
it's like
happen.
A luck. Yeah. It's like a luck thing.
It's a little bit of luck, but it's also just a little bit of making sure you're as prepared for if a moment does happen, mm-hmm. getting the best shot you can from where you are, you know. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, dang, I wish I would have been down there, but like, as long as you're prepared to get a shot of the moment from where you are, you'll usually get a shot that's pretty awesome, as long as the moment's just as awesome.
So those are the moments you're capturing that keep you creative.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear, because like, I know what I ask for as a manager from mm-hmm. photographers, videographers at shows, but like, I don't know what other camps ask for. So like, mm-hmm. I'm curious, like, what does Tim or Tim's camp ask you specifically to get? Like, what's your thing every weekend or every show mm-hmm. that they ask for?
Yeah, I think we can talk about, I guess, this past tour.
Yeah.
This past tour, one big reason we brought out another shooter was just the vastness of the show. This is probably the biggest production he's ever had in his whole career. And that's obviously been 30 years in the making now. And so just making sure we did as good a job as capturing that as yeah. we possibly could was our number one thing. And so having people in different spots to get as much coverage and different POVs as we could. But night to night, it was obviously looking out for different things that would happen from day to day, whether it was, you know, someone cool came to the show, you know, capturing mm-hmm. them backstage, or, you know, he would do like a cover sometimes backstage, like an Elvis cover once that we put out, and that was great. Okay. You know, things that are individual to each night that we can put out as their own pieces. But for the most part, it was, I think it was a partnership with Event Shop, I think is who it was. And we had photos that fans could download after each show that was specific to their show, that we would go back and put up, I don't know, anywhere from probably like 7 to 10 or something each night. And we would go back after the show, we'd have about an hour or so to turn those around and get our top, you know, 15 to 20 over to management. So if they could get eyes on them, then he can get eyes on them too, to pick like, hey, these are my favorites. Mm-hmm. Then we'd have them ready to go first thing in the morning, so fans after the show could use the code that was on the screen or the QR code that they scanned or whatever, yeah. and they could go and download those photos or make them into a T-shirt. They can make them to a poster. They can make them
That's
into
crazy. I've never
you know,
heard
whatever
that.
They wanted. Yeah, it was first time we'd ever done it. It was a ton of fun for us. Like I love working under the gun. I think it's super fun to be like, all right, you're back here. You got an hour. Give me your best in an hour. Cool. Let's knock it out. So that was fun. That was each night. That was me and Ben, obviously. And that was another reason to have another shooter out, to just make sure like the photos were as top tier, yeah, you know, yeah. as we could possibly have, and to make sure we didn't miss anything. And then obviously getting video as well as things, you know, progress throughout the weekend so that we could put a, like I said, a weekend recap together at the very least.
So they always ask for a weekend recap?
Yep. Weekend recap was okay, definitely cool. A part of it. And so, yeah. And that was just kind of, you know, to just almost a thank you to mm-hmm. the cities from that past weekend. It's like, man, thanks for your energy. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for just, you know, continuing to allow me to do this, being Tim.
Yeah.
Like, you know, such a great thank you. And then also to just, you know, keep the energy to show, like,
yeah,
you know, because cool. it was such an energy-packed weekend to just remind everybody, like, hey, this is the show. Like, you're going to yeah. come out and you're going to have fun. Like, if you're right. coming to the show later, like, this is what to expect, you know?
Well, damn, I'm sad. You said this is the biggest production he's ever done in all of these years, and I didn't see the show.
I did, and it was pretty great.
Don't worry, we have a lot of
yeah,
footage.
Okay. I was out with Carly.
Okay, so I have a question. When you say biggest production ever,
yeah.
like for me, like production, okay, so like a stage, a thrust,
mm-hmm.
screens, lighting, like visuals. He didn't have cryo or pyro.
That
okay, so like thing. What else makes a big production,
so,
you know?
The reason I say biggest production was we did a lot of interviews with different bandmates and like the lighting director and things like that. His lighting director, his name is Pat. Pat's been doing this for 40 years. Pat's worked for any big artist you could name under the sun, from like Beyonce to Bon Jovi to obviously Tim McGraw, like everybody. He's done this for 40 years. He said this is the most amount of lighting fixtures he's ever had on a tour in his entire career in 40
no
years.
Way.
And he's done stadiums all over the world.
Lighting fixtures.
Yeah, he's done stadiums all over the world. He's done arenas, you know, for like I said, 30-40 years. This is the most he's ever had to control one time. He had 401.
Okay.
And so just the amount of different looks he could create to make each song feel unique was just unbelievable.
And I feel like as a photographer that helps so much with what we do, because when I think about like I don't know if you ever felt this way, like when you're shooting an opener
mm-hmm.
and you're like, I can only do so much with what I am given.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the opener doesn't have 401 lighting fixtures. And then it's like, well, if you just give me this big artist with all these things, I can deliver the coolest shots. But then you kind of get in this like muddy area where how do you transition from an opener to a main artist?
Sure.
And that's obviously another luck thing and being good at your job, I guess. But
I'd say part of it though is like when you're shooting that opener, like you can get the great shots with the opener. Obviously, mm-hmm. going from song to song, if you can get great shots then. When you get to shoot a headliner with a billion lights and everything, you're going to get four times the amount of great shots, you know, after the fact, right?
Yeah.
When if you would have shot them first, you'd probably look back in 5 or 6 years and be like, dang, I wish I had another chance to shoot that again now, knowing what I know and knowing, mm-hmm. you know, just how much more experience I have. And so it's not that, obviously, because like you said, tons of people can get great shots.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic. He looks fantastic, like all that. But just being able to put like reps in with less, I think just makes you that much more prepared for when you do get the opportunity to just absolutely smash it.
That's so true. I know that you've shared like some of your favorite tour stories on some other mm-hmm. podcasts, but do you have any other ones that you can share that you haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, I touched on this a little bit, but I kind of want to reframe why it's one of my favorite tour stories.
Okay.
It was right before the pandemic. I was out on tour with Miranda Lambert, and we had canceled a couple shows that weekend, and so I hadn't gotten to do a lot of what I love to do. And so I was, you know, had some time, was looking for artists that were performing around me, and one of them ended up being Patrick Droney, who I'm such a big Patrick Droney fan.
I love his music, yeah.
He's fantastic. And so he was performing. We were in Denver, I think, on our last night, and he was performing in Aspen, and then another show in Boulder, like 2 days later, something like that. And so, like I said, sitting there, I texted my manager at the time, who knew his manager, and so it's like, dude, well, they just like let me shoot the show if I come out, like I, you know, if they want to pay me, great, but like I want to go out and shoot it, because like I said, one, I'm just a huge fan, and then two, I just want to use my camera like this weekend. And so they got in contact, and he was like, yeah, sure, like you can get out there, like you can do it. He's like, but like all they really have is clearance to shoot it. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm down. So rented a car. Drove from Denver to Aspen.
Oh, wow. You fully committed.
Fully committed.
I thought in my head, like, you're already there.
No. Rented a car.
Oh, Patrick Droney. Dang.
Yeah. Rented a car. Drove. And Patrick doesn't know a lot of this either. I just showed up and was just happy to do it. So rented a car from Denver. Drove to Aspen, which is, I don't know, 2-3 hours, something like that. Stayed the night. I didn't book a hotel room. Stayed in the rental car.
No, Tyler.
Stayed in the rental car.
That is
commitment.
Woke
up the next morning. I was
absolutely
so excited
not.
To shoot.
Could not be me.
Okay. We're also in Aspen.
Yeah, you won't even go in a van.
We're also in Aspen. Like, I'd never been to Aspen
so
at the time
beautiful.
Either. It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
So
beautiful. You
stayed
can sleep
there.
In your car.
Stayed there. Woke up. The show was the next day. They got in. I got to meet Patrick, and it was like 3 or 4 of them at the time. It was really just him and like a keyboard / guitar player, I think, were the only two, because he was an opener on the tour.
Yeah.
And so got to meet him and, you know, the people out with him on tour. And we walked around Aspen for like 30, 40 minutes and, you know, through the streets. And it was like February. So it was snow on the ground. It was beautiful. And so we did like a 30, 40 minute shoot.
Did you freeze in your car?
Up there. It wasn't that bad.
Okay, keep going.
And so anyway, got to do that. Got some of my favorite shots that I had ever at that time. And then obviously went to shoot the show, then drove to Boulder the next day, did the show in Boulder. I did shower at a local gym.
Thank
paid
God,
like
I wasn't going to ask
$10 or $15. Got a shower at a local gym. Yeah. And then, you know, and we continued, we moved on. And then, yeah, did the same thing at Boulder. You know, got some more shots at Boulder and then, you know, photographed that. And that ended up being one of the last shows I shot, like, for like a year or whatever, because the pandemic hit the next week or week or two after, something like that. And so looking back on that, like that refueled me, like filled my cup so much, because mm-hmm. I hadn't really gotten to shoot a ton of artists that I was like fans first,
yeah,
if that makes sense. And I was like a big fan of like his first EP and stuff. And so getting to do that, and then also just getting to have like such a like authentic and kind of real opportunity to shoot them other than just a show, but to like walk around Aspen and stuff, like my cup was so full that was super important to me going into a year of not being able to tour.
Yeah.
Well, and such like a cool, like, I don't know if you felt this in the moment, like a I've made it moment where like you already were shooting someone so cool, but then you just hit up the manager that knew his manager. And then it's like almost like your eyes open and you have access to everyone. Like
absolutely.
It kind of feels like unstoppable. Like I can't pinpoint my exact moment where I'm like, oh, wait, we're pretty connected. Like,
yeah,
we can kind of get to where we need to go. Once you get in the door, you know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely.
Have you shot him since?
We did a little thing here in Nashville, but he bounces back between Nashville and New York a lot.
Okay.
And so I haven't really gotten to fully, I would love to do another run or weekend or two or whatever with him at some point, which I think may happen down the line. But But yeah, that just kind of was its own thing for a while. And it was just a, I don't know, it was a chance to kind of fall back in love with doing this stuff again, right? Just go out there for free. I didn't care, you know, about anything else. I just kind of wanted to cover it how I wanted to cover it. And hopefully he dug it, and he did. So
yeah, I think that's fun. So important to like make time for those types of shoots that like you just want to do because you want to do it.
Yeah.
As we like wrap up our episode, do you have like any advice that you would give to someone who wants to be in your position, or like something that you've learned or anything like that?
Sure. Yeah, I'd say if it's just something you want to do, number one, if you can't move to Nashville, put yourself in.
You're like, get in a car and rent a car and drive and then sleep in it and then shoot everything for free.
I will say the first two shows I did shoot for free.
Yeah, we all got to do it for free. Just because
you have to have something to show.
Yeah, you got to put your name out there. You have to have a portfolio.
Yeah. And so I don't knock that. I just don't do it for too long.
Yeah.
However, I think if you can't move to Nashville, put yourself in a position where you can at least get a chance to show what you can do with these artists in the frame, right? So whether that's shoot for your local radio station, your local news station, TV, print, whatever it is, right? So you can at least get to that concert with a camera, mm-hmm. show what you can do, whether that's, you know, in camera, whether that's in post, whatever that, you know, may be. And then also it's a chance to kind of put reps in to make sure that when you do get the chance, you know, to, you know, go on tour with one of them, or, you know, to move to Nashville to chase that dream, that like you have a lot of reps, you know, put in, you know, a lot of things that you personally like, or that even clients personally like and don't like. And so you've made a lot of those mistakes ahead of time. So then when you move to Nashville, you're a lot more prepared to kind of tackle it and give it your best.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like I said, putting yourself in those rooms and trying to make as many connections as you can, whether that be with, you know, managers, whether it be with, labels, whatever it is, or with the artists themselves. You know, it goes a long way to, there's plenty of openers on tours that don't have photo video people out that are just would love someone to come out. And yeah, you want to shoot my 15, 20 minute set and send me stuff? Absolutely. Like, you know, shoot them a DM, shoot them an email if they have an email in their bio, whatever. Like, you'd be surprised at who would say yes to you. So put yourself in those situations. Do your best.
I love getting those emails, and I take them up on it every single time.
Yeah, absolutely. We literally talked about this yesterday, and then Marissa literally got an email yesterday.
Yeah, I screenshotted right when we left, and I was like, yep, I'm approving all this. I'm not even reading it. Yeah. They're confirmed to shoot.
Exactly.
And I don't even care if they're from the pit or with flash. Exactly.
No, I know.
Does anyone actually shoot with flash?
I said
at
no
a show?
Flash. I don't think.
I'd say the only time backstage. Would be like a small like underground venue that's just like, hey, we have like three can lights or something.
Because
I always
feel silly. I just repeat the, you know, three songs from the pit. First three songs from the pit, no flash. And I'm like, who uses flash at a dark show, right?
That's
not
distracting.
Sorry, I didn't
to kind of to kind of like go off what you just said. Like I always say, like, lower your ego.
Sure.
And like, because I would talk about how I would shoot for red carpet storage, and from that storage shoot I met someone who worked there who knew someone who got me on tour, like
100%.
Literally. And I feel like what people post on Instagram isn't always, you know, what they're doing behind the scenes, but
one
cool artist and then the next day shooting red carpet storage.
Yeah.
And that's how we got our sponsorship.
I would say also from that, like, just being kind of like a chameleon and like trying to expand your creativity. So like, you know, you may have a style that you really like that you're like, man, I think I'm really good at this. It's like, that's great. But what if, you know, insert artist here comes and they're just like completely opposite to that style, but they want to bring you out on tour. It's like, okay, but I've never done that before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they love, you know, brighter, like whatever it is, right?
Devin's like, I only want black and white.
Devin only wants black and white, moody, like metal kind of.
I would love
stuff,
that.
Right?
My dream gig.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a gig, like, that a lot of people
never
wanted.
Do a black and white photo. I don't want a black and white photo ever.
Really?
I'm like staunchly against. Yeah.
Point proven, right?
Yeah.
And so try to expand your creativity so you can get good at a lot of different things, so that no matter the artist that dials you up, you're like, oh, you want that style? I can do that style. Yeah. Like, absolutely, you know.
Cool.
Wait, I have one final question, because I know we are running short on time, but is there a bucket list person that comes to mind that you would like to shoot?
I said for a long time, Justin Timberlake.
Mm. Oh, that's a good one. I could see that for you. We're going to manifest that one.
You know, I was a dancer before I was a photographer, videographer. And so like growing up on Justin Timberlake, yeah, that would be a big one for me.
Damn, now I'm sad we are out of time and we can't even dive into your dance.
I was about to be like, get up and do a move
right
now.
That's why I threw it in at the end.
Yeah. Oh, I do this about you, and I let it slide.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so, so much for joining us. Confirmed, you do have a really hot voice. Thank you for
not all of
here.
Us flirting with Tyler on the
pod. I'm here for it. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Tyler, for coming. And thanks to everyone listening for joining us on our PTO.